The opinions on this show are ours and ours alone.
All information is for entertainment purposes only.
This content is meant for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm John. And Peter.
Hello.
I'm just Adam.
How's it going, just Adam?
It's going just fine.
How's it going on Twitch? I want to see... Hi, Twitch.
Hello, Twitch.
Hello.
Hi, Twitch. We're playing Ruby... We're playing Ruby Grim... Grim Eclipse. We're playing Ruby... Grim Eclipse. Good God.
I've stumbled over that a couple times, too, now. So
I'm a huge fan of the Ruby Show from Rooster Teeth, and we'll get into that a little bit later while Adam kills some Beowulfs.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, they're called... No, it's from the show.
Oh, okay. Well, you said you didn't remember what they were called earlier. Or the bigger ones.
I don't remember what they're called. Okay. Yeah, but there's an Ursa, and then those, like, two-legged ones. I don't know what they're called either, so...
Did we say we have Peter on the board again?
Peter was there.
Peter's not over there.
I died. Here you
Peter's
go.
Not so, talking.
Go ahead and keep playing.
I will.
I think we've got a little bit of solar news to talk about.
And when he says little bit, it kind of sums up all of news.
there's a couple other things.
There is, but there wasn't a lot.
And he means
stuff.
The technology, not the celestial.
There's only a little bit of solar left. There's only a little bit.
We're quickly running out of solar.
The universe is shrinking, and we're all going to die.
Yeah.
I am talking about, Tesla and Solar City merging?
Yep.
That announcement happened in June. Well, actually, the announcement didn't even happen. They just made an offer on the company in June. Tesla Motors did.
Right.
But funny enough, Solar City was actually founded by... What's his name? Elon Musk's cousins.
Oh, so, really? I didn't know that.
There's
okay.
some little, like, there's a little bit of nepotism here.
But it's all part of Elon Musk's plan to just create this huge electric company. They can give you electric cars, power your house.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was talking about the Powerwall.
Yeah, which I think is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. But what we're talking about is not only the merger that happened, but also the rumor is that there are going to be two new products announced from Solar City in the near future by Q4 of this year. And speculation is, and rumors are, that it's going to have something to do with solar paneling roofs and actually making your roof out of solar panels.
Right, so they'd be like, they're like module panels that just kind of snap together.
Yeah, think of them as like, right now everything's like a panel on top of your roof, like it attaches to your roof. This would be the actual shingles.
Right.
Are your solar panels. Man, you are fucking them up, dude. It's hard not to watch.
Your health regenerates, Adam.
What?
Your health regenerates.
Oh, okay, good. I thought I was still super close to dead.
Yeah, just run away from him for a little.
Ruby's the shit. You're gonna die.
And we talked about this a little bit before the show. Like, I think this is really cool, but I don't know. It depends on like your roof.
Oh,
and,
you're
like,
talking about Solar City, yeah.
Yeah, the roof panels, like mm-hmm. how the trees are. You know, if you've got trees around your house or something, it doesn't really make sense to have your entire roof be a solar panel. You know.
They just need to come up with some ways of cleverly transitioning between a traditional roof and these new tiles. Because it's a roof replacement, not something you put over your
right,
roof.
And it seems like that'd be fairly easy to do, seeing as they're just module pieces that snap together, so...
I would also say this would probably be way more beneficial business-wise and commercial-wise than it would be for residential.
Like tops of big skyscrapers in a city where there's nothing really blocking the sun?
That or, I mean, the Kent Valley, where most of the South Sounds industry takes place, that's mm-hmm. all just covered in sunlight, basically. I mean, for 3 months out of the year. And then, the rest of the time it's clouds. But even clouds, like, allow the penetration of UV rays.
Yeah. Mm. So you're definitely not going to get as much electricity.
No.
Here in Washington. I found a calculator once and kind of did the math on it.
Hey, and, Adam, left bumpers dodge.
Like, you definitely would have a hard time powering your whole house with that.
Right. And these are designed to be hooked into houses that are already connected to the electric grid.
Click both your bumpers.
To supplement the electricity.
That's nice.
Know.
That was your ultimate.
And it's true, like, here, but, you know, houses, like, down in the Southwest and stuff, this would be great for.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Midwest, too, man. Yeah. Like, there's nothing but just hills and farms in Iowa and Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Granted, it's humid as shit, but whatever.
I'm all for solar power. Sorry. That's the direction we need to take most things, I think.
So there's more than one side to this argument. My idealist side is like, yes, top down integration of clean technology is good, no matter what. Like, let's just do it. Let's just sacrifice what we need to sacrifice and do it. But unfortunately, according to Peter in a review that he found from MIT. Solar City is not necessarily doing that well as a company. Like, their stocks are not in the toilet, but they're bad.
It seems like both companies, Tesla Motors and Solar City, are bleeding money.
Right.
So.
They're currently not downsizing, like removing employees and going down on expenses. So.
Right.
Now that does suck. That's horrible. But some of this is mostly speculative, right? Like the decreasing in stocks and stuff. It's not because their product fails. I think it's because of kind of how they only have, like Tesla, for example, only has their two cars, and their two cars aren't selling wide. So, I mean, there's that affecting their revenue income. And then the speculative drops in stocks has to be at least somewhat because of the really bad press that Tesla Motors has gotten in the last 2 months.
Yeah,
as far as the autopilot stuff goes.
I think it also has, like, even their cheapest car, I mean, a $30,000 to $40,000 car is still out of the range of a lot of people.
Most people of America.
Me? I can't get anywhere close
to something like that.
I mean,
so,
took out an auto loan and only had that and food and a place to live, you might be able to swing it, which is how they would justify that kind of price tag.
Right, but you're still going to be at a minimum $600 a month or something like that.
Yeah, it depends on how much you put down, but yeah.
How much you put down, how good your credit is, and all that stuff. But
basically, this is still targeted at a middle America wage that we can't meet right now, which is probably more of a social-political problem than Tesla Motors' responsibility. But
absolutely,
hey,
I mean, I'm sure these cars aren't cheap to build.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know.
I think the 2030 somethings though are definitely gonna, like, if you, for example, saved up, you just got out of college, maybe you got rid of your student loans, or maybe you still have them. You saved up a bunch of money. My guess is you're probably gonna buy a fucking house, you know, or some property, an asset rather than a depreciating thing.
It's true.
Cars never, like, unless it's some sort of classic car, it doesn't really.
Yeah, increase
value
in value.
No, it's
one of the only commodities that depreciates in value immediately.
As soon as you drive it off the lot.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, I mean, maybe that asset you invest in is the Powerwall.
So this article that we have here, it says that some analysts estimate the factory is likely to lose as much as $150 million a year once it reaches full production.
Well, that's not, I mean, yes, that's awful. But that's not uncommon for, like, look at Microsoft. The Xbox was, the original Xbox was never profitable for that company.
Right, but they made enough money off of the other sections of their company to support that.
You're right, they have a diverse fucking.
Right, Sony does a lot of the same things too. They took a loss with the PS3. But they could deal with that, you know. The rest of the
I'm just feeling like
Sony
Peter's checking my facts
it.
Here.
No, I'm actually about to look at the stock market. But yeah,
I have to say though, it's a hard argument to make between, you know, you're losing jobs in the short term, but in the long term, is it not a better benefit?
For if they succeed,
oh
yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm all for them succeeding. Like, I would love to have a Tesla car and a Powerwall. That would be fucking awesome, you know?
You're dying.
But the thing is, with them bleeding that much money, and there's so many other big corporations that do not want them to succeed, you know? Like, it doesn't look good for them in that sense. But I hope. I mean, what you're saying is true. Yeah, like, you can take a loss for a long time and still pull away from that. Amazon did that.
Jesus, yeah, they did.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know who didn't? Blockbuster. And they'd stuck to the old way of doing things.
Well, they moved like Netflix, though. But they're just too little too late.
Too late, yeah.
They were way too late.
Because they turned down the offer to buy Netflix back in the day.
Oh, they feel so dumb.
Yeah. Well, they don't really feel much anything anymore. Yeah, so.
I'm sure the founder still retired with enough money. Blockbuster was the thing.
Oh, the founders and the CEOs and all of them are fine.
Yeah, it's those fucking clerks.
Yeah. It's the lower level management and shit like that that got screwed and all of that.
Yeah, for sure. Like the general that managers around the store. Oh, the sound of the thing getting attacked?
No, just her animations. He just like made this. I think he got attacked 3 times or something like that. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was the same noise 3 times in a row.
She's a little girl, man. She's fucking 15. She's actually fighting at a 16-year-old level.
Just they need two or three different sounds for your heavy attack.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He's making the exact same noise every time he heavy attacks.
I was going to push him, why not B or X? No wonder I'm fucking doing the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, your bumper, was wondering. You're right, big bumper. Keep up the good work. No, big one.
The paddle on the back.
That's your attack.
Yeah.
So that helps you at all.
But you still got to use.
You still got to use Y and B though. Dodge.
Don't.
Can't help it.
That's where I screwed up the first time I was playing this. I was pretty much just using the paddle. So yeah.
Use your ultimate.
Hold the bumpers?
Yeah.
There we go.
Look, still got most of the health in them.
It would be nice if it had the four little paddles like that Xbox Elite controller does.
Yeah. I love that thing.
Yeah, but $150 for a controller?
Well, yeah, that's why I love that thing. Because it's expensive as shit. What else? Anything else you want to say about Solar City and stuff? Or Tesla Motors?
They need to make it happen.
I agree. I think wide-scale adoption is going to take forever. Progress is slow, but I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, once they get a more efficient photovoltaic cell, I like feel like there's no reason that there's not widespread adoption. Like, there's...
Well, money is still a concern.
Yeah.
I think, like...
A cheap one.
Yeah.
Let me add the word cheap.
I mean, I was reading this thing that was basically saying, like, and I know I would be fine with it, but most people would be fine with, like, the 200-mile range or whatever it is that
that's like road trips have. That's like fucking three... Well,
yeah.
Then you use your other car.
So it's more a thing of people are still hung up on that whole range. Like, they're worried that that's going to be an issue. Even if it's not realistically going to be an issue.
I think they're worrying about the wrong thing. Like, I rarely go more than 200 miles in a week. You know, and
right. So shit, as long as you charged it every other day, you'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And I definitely wouldn't use it for road trips or anything. Like,
I would use it for a road trip to like Olympia.
Oh yeah,
that's nothing.
That's way less than 200 miles round trip.
Don't forget to use the B button when they do that.
Yeah, I keep pushing it too late.
He was almost dead.
Yeah, yeah. I know that.
It would also be nice to see more like. Charging stations and stuff around like
public
that
ones,
would help
yeah.
to make people get over that fear of the range.
Well,
also,
right now it's a surprise when you do see them. I mean, I'm not really looking for
downtown
them
Seattle.
Either,
they're everywhere. And in cities that have more widely adopted the Tesla, like Austin, Texas, they're on every street corner. Both bumpers.
Some bumpers are just the wrong bumpers. There are too many fucking bumpers on this controller.
I just actually bought my own Steam controller, so I'm looking forward to getting used to it. Yeah.
Nice.
It was on, there was a 30% sale over the weekend on the Steam Link and the Steam controller.
Yeah.
I picked up the Steam controller.
Nice.
And then John, okay, A, John's a bitch because he's not here, but B, I told him that I bought it on Monday, and he goes, oh, wow, if you'd talk to me, I'm a Prime member, I could have gotten it to you for $30 by tomorrow. I was like, thanks, dude. Yeah, that's great. I really appreciate your candor. I was like, oh, I don't have a little John in my pocket, even if he is pocket-sized.
Pocket John!
Pocket John!
I want that to be a thing.
You got me an achievement.
You're welcome.
Or maybe you got Adam an achievement.
No, it's under your account.
It's on my account? Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm pretty good at this game, as I say.
How many times did you die?
Zero. Not once.
It'll tell you at the end of the level.
It says I have one enemy left, but...
Oh, it'll show up. You gotta run around the arena.
There behind you.
Oh, it's a big one.
I do feel like, back to kind of what we were talking about, I do feel like Tesla Motors would have a better chance than
Solar City.
Yeah, I feel like the cars would have a better chance than the solar panels would.
You know, I'd probably have to agree with that. But even in the article we were reading, the Solar City one, the first one, it said that, like, Elon Musk wants to take a chunk out of the... Adam, you're not paused.
I see that.
They want to take a chunk out of the building industry. And I'm like, okay, maybe you do that with, like, your second product. Like, you don't want to challenge them, like, right away, do you?
Feel confident enough, yeah. Probably, you know. I don't know. They got to kind of step in somewhere, I guess, but...
Huh. RB, you'll kill them in one.
I was just thinking to myself, like, Adam, when you hear that noise, that means that you can counter something. And I'm like, oh, Adam can't hear shit.
Yeah.
I wish I could hear that noise.
It would help. But the Twitch viewers can hopefully hear it. And,
you gotta get on that thing, dude.
The audio is not getting
correct. Oh, shit, they are beating on it.
Yeah.
Hey, knock it off.
Well, if we haven't seen a bunch of complaints in the Twitch chat yet, then it should be good.
Nope. I will say, though, I'm probably going to adhere to my, yes, it's new renewable energy. Let's get towards that. Fuck everybody who loses their job.
Let's save the planet.
Well, let's tell the planet to stop trying to kill us. Like, yeah. Keep the planet from destroying us, or stop ourselves from killing ourselves.
Yeah, there you go. Because we're not going to destroy the planet. We're just going to destroy our ability humanity. To live on the planet. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, planet doesn't give a fuck about it.
Oh, no, yeah.
Actively John- trying to tell us to fuck off.
John is saying that Solar City sells through the Home Depot in California.
Really?
Yeah, nice. I mean, that seems like really... good area to sell that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Contractors, yeah. Construction and contractors. That's a genius.
Definitely. Was that all we had on...
On Solar City, probably. No, I can't think of anything else.
I mean, we're pretty much covered.
We're all on the same page. Like, we love the idea of it.
Yeah.
Renewable energy.
It needs to happen. It will happen eventually.
I think
the
limiting factor is greed.
Oh,
it's gotta be.
That's almost always true for progress, you know.
Sure.
Can't patent the sun.
But you can block it. I've heard this before.
No, but you patent the technology that gathers energy from it.
That's what
they're
doing.
Or that converts energy from it, you know.
You gotta use the B button on this guy.
I'm noticing that because apparently,
run. You might
run.
Die.
Oh. Okay. You have your ultimate.
So the next thing we got in the news, little Sony news.
Oh yeah, it's just a rumor. It's nothing substantial. But the rumor is that since a French Amazon company is listing that there is a wireless USB device with the DualShock 4, that there might be a chance that. The DualShock 4 will be more PC compatible than the DualShock 3 was, or just any other controller.
Right. Well, yeah.
DualShock's the name of the PlayStation controller, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And there's also a FCC certification for wireless PlayStation 4 adapter.
Hit up on the D-pad, Adam.
But basically, this is just, I mean, if this is anything, this is just Sony coming out with their own peripherals, so that way you can use the DualShock on the PC.
You don't have two.
I only have 1 point.
That's most likely.
Okay. Yeah.
Even though, I don't know, you can already do that. At least, I mean, you can do it wired for sure. Just hook up the USB cable to it and it works just fine. But you can also just buy a cheap Bluetooth dongle, $4 or $5 on Amazon probably, and it'll work. You might have to download certain drivers. I don't know. It works straight out of the box on Linux, but there might be some drivers you'd have to download for Windows. But
sure.
But either way, that's way... I mean, we don't know how much this thing would be, but I'd assume at least $20, $30 maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know that that's really worth it.
I just wonder if it's necessary. I mean, like you said, there's already ways to do it. Why do you need to do the... Is it just because you're the PS4 and you want to have your Sony peripheral on it?
Right. You want your own in-house proprietary stuff. But one thing we were talking about earlier, which I thought was interesting, was like the PS4 controllers will link up to the Steam Link without any adaptors or anything like that.
Like yours? Oh, yeah. That's what you were saying. Mm-hmm,
yeah. We could bring a PS4 controller out here and it'll just connect up to it. You don't have to plug anything into the USB ports or anything. Like you would the Xbox One controller, you'd have to have the wireless dongle to use with this.
Breaking news.
What?
John misses us.
Aw. He should have been here.
If he's listening, he could be here.
I would say, so Adam, this guy is special, like you can only hit him in a certain way. Like if you try and swing at him, you won't be able to attack him.
That's what it was saying. I gotta wait for him to charge and then...
Yeah, well, there he goes. B? No, you gotta hit B.
Yeah.
And then like he'll either... now you can't hit him.
Oh, that almost killed you.
Yeah, he will.
You gotta really up your game, dog. You gotta turn your
controller, man.
Yeah, you gotta look at the right direction.
You're killing me, dog. But yeah, it really just does. Yeah, get him.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that questions whether it's worth it even more if it can already just hook up to the Steam Link without anything.
Yeah, why do you need a dongle?
Why would you need
one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And first and foremost, we should probably say, or I guess last and last least, we should say this is a rumor. We don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But it does. It does beg the question, is this a necessity? Do you fucking care? I mean, I'm going to get a Steam controller. That thing's going to work for my PC perfectly. It's exactly what it's supposed to be.
And it comes with a little adapter.
Yeah.
You still need to use for the Steam Link, which I think is
really
fine. Yeah, it doesn't connect to the Steam Link wireless. Well, it does, but you have to use the dongle.
Do you have to charge it?
It's got batteries.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But it does have a USB port on the top, so I assume you can still use it either plugged in or...
I wonder if the thing will...
maybe there's a rechargeable adapter.
Plug it into your computer upside down. Like just a regular USB device. Get fucked up, son! There you go.
I don't know how much you've used the DualShock 4, but it's actually a really nice controller. It's leaps and bounds over the PlayStation 3 controller. For sure.
Actually, yeah, I have used it a bit. I've used it with you.
Yeah.
I like it, yeah.
Like, after playing my PS4 for a while, then if I go play with the PS3 again or something, I'm just like, man, how the hell did I use this shit? You know? It's like, it feels so
caveman
cheap.
Caveman, no use controller.
I feel like if that's not the case, then...
It's true. They're going to want to make it better each time around.
Yeah,
but...
Yeah, that I mean, if it's not, you just should be disappointed. I mean, like, yeah. If I like the PS3 controller more than the PS4 controller or any of the other generations, then
they fucked up.
They fucked
somewhere.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you? Is that the case for you in the Xbox controller? Is the 360 controller superior to the Duke? I think so too.
Yeah.
And then I would also. I actually really enjoy how the One controller feels, as opposed to the 360. It's almost the same thing. It's a little bit more.
It's just a little
sleek.
More refined.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no particularly, you know, round or like straight edges on it, as opposed to the 360, which has a little bit of a. It's not a straight edge, but it's definitely like a lip.
Which also makes sense, too, because none of the, like, the console companies, at least, like, none of them are making any drastic changes to their controllers at this point. They're just kind of...
It fucking works.
They're just trying to make them better now.
Yeah. Which is actually, I disagree. Nintendo has made drastic changes to every controller they've had since the first one.
Fair enough. I was thinking Microsoft and Sony in my head when I said that, so...
But think about it. Original
Microsoft
Nintendo,
doesn't have the same kind of... lineage, though, that
it's true.
Nintendo does.
And it doesn't have the same, or Sony. PlayStation was around well before the Xbox.
Yeah, and actually PlayStation was going to be at Nintendo. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's... like, I mean, think about the original NES controller, then the Super NES controller, mm-hmm. and then the 64.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it had a joystick.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then actually, I think the most profound leap is actually N64 to GameCube.
I agree.
Where they added a second joystick and the configuration completely changed.
The GameCube controller was kind of weird.
I loved it, but I never spent a lot of
time. I actually thought it was like one of the best fighting game controllers. That's why I still use it for Smash.
I loved it for Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
I thought it was perfect. And it was shaped.
That's a game that we gotta play.
Soul Calibur?
Yeah, we gotta play some Soul
Calibur. Did you guys like the Dreamcast controller?
Yes.
It's essentially just the Xbox controller.
It has like more grip, like better, I don't know. It felt better in your hands, something.
It did, but like,
I didn't like the whole VMU things, but.
No. But. If you look at the console and like the controller and it just everything and compare it to the original Xbox, they just look so similar. I mean, the color scheme is a little different, but the shapes of the consoles are even the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would totally agree that the VMU, even the Duke controller looks exactly like the Dreamcast controller.
What's the Duke?
The Duke is the old school, the first Xbox controller.
There was the Duke and then the like the S controller or something,
The S was obviously preferred.
Yeah,
I preferred the Duke. I liked the big S.
I didn't like where the white buttons were.
White and black were up here.
Yeah,
right?
And it was really hard to press start. And like, there's no reason for any of that.
Because I played with that controller so long, it was impossible for me to get used to the Xbox 360 controller for this press and start.
Oh yeah.
I would always press the jewel or something, man.
Yeah.
Like, I would always fuck it up.
Yeah, it's because you're, like, overextending.
Exactly. Oh, it's so close.
Do you remember, I don't know if any of you guys remember when the PS3, before it came out, Sony was trying to change the shape of the controller.
I don't remember
the DualShock 3. They had shown a couple, like, I don't know if they were leaked photos, just a couple press photos of what it was going to look like. And it was like, it looked like a boomerang, almost.
I do remember this.
Because they call it like the boomerang style now or whatever. But it looked like a boomerang and all the buttons were just kind of sleek on it, you know?
Yeah.
Were
some of them on the wings a little bit? Yeah.
And just everyone was up in arms. Like, fuck, this controller was ridiculous, you know? And eventually they caved in and
your ultimate's up.
And went back to the classic style that they had for the PS2 and stuff. You know?
One thing I remember, the greatest thing, difference I remember between the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3 controller was the 6-axis and how terrible that was.
Yeah.
And specifically terrible when you're playing Uncharted and you're walking across the log and then, and then you get back up on the log and then you just 2 seconds later, you're also falling the other way.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
It was terrible too because the 6-axis sucked. There's actually, if you don't know, there's actually two different PS3 controllers. It's the 6-axis and the DualShock 3.
Oh, okay. Then no, I didn't know that.
Because the 6-axis was the one that came out. They all have the same functionality.
Yeah.
But the 6-axis doesn't have rumble with it. Like, they decided for the fucking PlayStation 3 didn't need rumble, you know. Because they thought that the motion sensing was gonna be cooler.
Rear.
You know, better. And they claimed for some reason they couldn't have rumble motors in there and have the 6-axis movement. Like, it messed that up somehow.
Bummer.
People were fucking outraged over it, and then they came out with the DualShock 3 that added rumble back in like they should have from the beginning.
Yeah.
And still has the same functionalities, so.
What's the worst controller ever?
What's that one? Like, the Jaguar?
Is that a Mad Cat?
No, which one is the one that has, like, the keyboard practically on it?
The handheld? Or
let me see. Let's see
is
if
it
I can look
console?
That up real quick. Yeah, it's a console.
I know the one you're talking about, but I don't know what it was called or who it was for.
When you dash into the middle like that, use your ultimate.
I didn't realize it was up.
Look at that. He just killed three of them.
The ultimate recharges a lot quicker than I expected to.
It goes up with your combo cap.
Oh, yeah, this one, the Atari Jaguar.
Oh, God, fuck. Yeah, I remember that one.
Wasn't that I thought that was a handheld.
No, that's a full-on Atari controller.
I don't know how well you can see it.
I can see it pretty well.
Yeah, it's got like, it's like a numpad on it, basically.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I can't even imagine, like, holding that controller.
that's got to be up there, yeah. I think for... For me, I think the worst controller I've ever used, though, was the PlayStation controller, the original one. I never liked that I don't know, I just didn't like it. Maybe that's just my own bias, like, affecting that opinion. I just didn't like PlayStation for a long time.
Are you talking about just the original PlayStation controller?
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it, but it was a lot different than the PS2 controller. It didn't have extra buttons at the top, and it didn't have...
Yeah.
It only had triggers, and it didn't have analog sticks, so...
Yeah, maybe that's it, because by the time the PlayStation... By the time I got around to playing the PlayStation controller, I was already on the 64 and GameCube kick, so it didn't... Like, it was nothing new to me. This is lame.
There was a... I don't know.
You have new skills.
A year or so...
You keep your level when you die.
A year or so into the PlayStation's production, they did come out with one with sticks, so...
Yeah.
They have a trend of doing that, just, you know, coming out with shit later. That's Kotaku has an article that says the Atari Jaguar is the worst controller ever, too.
The one I've seen, and I forget who it was for, but it was literally a full QWERTY keyboard that basically just had, like, a controller cut in half and then sandwiched on the end of each of it.
I've never heard of that.
I know what you're talking about, but I think that's just, like, a extra controller. An add-on, and I think it's Dreamcast?
It might be Dreamcast, yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't a standard controller by any means, but I remember seeing it. Never played with it or anything, but I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I do not need a full QWERTY keyboard with my controller sandwiching it.
And now on the 360, though, they have an attachable keyboard that goes right on underneath.
But that fits between the two little prongs. Yeah. Like, this thing was like a straight-up, like...
Yep.
Desktop keyboard.
No, I know.
It was
Yeah, that's the one.
Holy shit! It's a
GameCube.
It's a GameCube WaveBird.
Yeah, it's a GameCube controller.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the WaveBird?
Yeah, that's like the coolest.
Yeah, that was the wireless GameCube controller. It was silver. I had one of those.
That would be so awkward to play with.
It's not that far away from the Wii U controller. I replaced that with a screen. And that's the Wii U controller.
I feel like that's still a little bigger, though. You'd be
whatever. Nintendo's weird.
Yeah. But they're still around. Like, they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
So.
To some extent.
What's the last story we got going on?
I don't know. I got off track because I started looking up...
Gamescom.
Controller. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over the course of the last week, Gamescom took place from August 15th until the 21st.
And they had, 345,000 attendees?
Wow. That's fucking crazy. And, so that's in one day, I think. Over the course of the whole week, it was something like 500,000 total.
Oh, really? That was just the big day that weekend?
Yeah,
oh,
that
would have
been, our PAX Saturday.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of PAX, man, it's right around the corner.
It is.
Next weekend.
Do any of us get to go?
I am going on September 3rd.
Me.
Saturday.
Are you going on the Saturday?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Taking my kids. They're excited. It's going to be their last weekend before they have to go back to school. So.
Nice. So they're all about it.
Yeah.
I get a 3-day weekend. It's work.
You going to try to get everyone in the house all hyped up about VR. So.
Oh, yeah. you have someone on your side. You are a dirty bat. What are you going for? What are you trying to aim them towards?
Vive.
Oh, the Vive, for
okay,
sure.
Just making sure we're on the same page.
You know, the last Steam update lets the Steam Link display whatever the Vive is.
Hit RB and you'll finish that
game. So, we had a Vive, we could use the Steam Link to capture the screen of what the person sees.
Oh, that's
really?
Dope.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. Yeah, we should totally get
we should get a Vive out here.
Yeah. We should make this happen.
Well, who do you need me to talk to? You want me to talk to Petra? I can get it.
I think Lennon's going to be the biggest decision maker on that one.
Well, he can do the sad face.
He could.
Well, they have been saving up their allowance. So,
oh, they're
know.
Good kids.
I helped Dad buy this new toy.
But the reason I think that it's important to talk about Gamescom is because there's this weird, I don't know, selfishness when it comes to American gamers. We think we're the only ones. Now, granted, we have some of the best developers, or at least they're headquartered here, but... Still, video gaming is always and forever an international industry. And for Germany to be the country that holds the highest attended video game conference, it just makes sense. And it's really encouraging to me, I think. Because, it's nice to know that whether you're German or Irish or Japanese or Chinese or whatever, wherever you're from, we all have this like universal love of video gaming, and it shows up through conventions like these. That was my tirade on that.
It was a good one.
I was looking for input from other people.
Sorry, I'm struggling. No,
I was watching him struggle.
I'd like to attend Gamescom at one point, but it's not a fan convention. Jesus, my voice cracked. It's not a fan convention. It's a trade show.
Right.
Something that's very different from PAX.
Wasn't that what E3 is? It's more of a trade show?
E3 used to be a trade show. I don't know what E3 is now.
Hey, look at our stuff.
Yeah. I would say a trade show would be like Consumer Expo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's our CPE or whatever it is.
CES.
Yeah. Consumer Electronics Show. Yeah. That would be a trade show. All kinds of... all kinds of industries have trade shows. Trucking companies have fucking trade shows.
I don't know if any machines have trade shows.
Yeah, exactly, right? but it's kind of legitimizing it in another way, you know, because it's an industry that's so vast and wide that it attracts people from all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
88 countries were exhibiting, and 97 different countries were represented in attendees.
Shit.
that's a lot. That's most of the free world. I mean, if you really think about it, I think there's something like 150 independently free countries, like sovereign countries.
Right.
And most of them are, industrial. Yeah. Most of them are at least industrial. So it's encouraging that more than two-thirds of them showed up to this convention. You guys ever want to go to Gamescom?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And GDC.
GDC, yeah. There you go. That's a good one, too.
Definitely.
Game Developer Conference?
Yep, that's right.
Do they ever give awards at that conference?
I think so.
Yeah.
They should.
Should be fun. I'm going to try and go this March, if possible, but it's expensive.
It seems like something that you would be able to go to, or...
Yeah, this I have to kind of play for it out of pocket.
Oh, I see.
Where's it held?
It's held in San Francisco.
Oh, that's not that far away at all.
No, but it's like the most expensive city in the.
It is.
Like,
yeah.
It is. It's more expensive than New York.
Yeah.
I'd imagine just going is expensive too.
Yeah, exactly. So. And the ticket itself is like $400 plus the plane ticket. So it's going to be about $1,000 probably. I'm going to try and go. We'll see what happens.
Take a camera.
Yeah. Definitely.
And a mic.
Yeah, dude, we got mics you can take.
Can I get one that looks like a retro 90s recorder that, like, have, like, on a shoulder strap?
What about, you mean like a camera like that?
No, like a recorder. Like a straight-up fucking tape recorder.
I was more wondering if you'd go for, like, the Home Alone 2 thing.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Oh, that thing would be great.
When he said that, that's what I was picturing in my head.
Right?
Like the Talk Boy or something?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was called, man. But, yeah.
I'm going to
Google it now.
That was all pink.
Because it had, like, that little microphone that would stick out of it.
Like, no, it was on a swivel.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
it would swivel up from the thing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna post this now. On Twitter.
Is it the Talk Boy?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Peter, if you take one of those, you're God, because that means we have to... That means not only did you find, like, the Talk Boy, but you found cassettes that work with the Talk Boy, and we'd have to somehow convert that to digital.
Yeah.
So if we can do that, you're God.
It's going to happen now. I'm going to find it on eBay.
Stay tuned next week for the Talk Boy.
He's already on eBay looking for...
what? I don't know what you're talking about.
I think this is also interesting that it was the sixth year of GamesCon, which means that it's old. Like, and you can only imagine that it's steadily grown over its life. And I don't know. Like I said... I'd be interested to go.
How many years has PAX been going on now?
13.
13.
I think.
And they've expanded to what, like four different shows now throughout
one of
the world?
Yeah, one of them is on Australia.
Uh-huh. There's PAX Australia. There's PAX East.
PAX West. South.
PAX South. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not PAX Prime
Aussie.
Anymore.
Yeah, yep. They changed it.
Fuck them! We're bitches!
I have notifications set up for their Twitter account so I could get tickets and stuff. And, every time they post something like, PAX West information updated or something, like, there's always somebody that posts in the comments like, oh, you spelled PAX Prime wrong. You know?
That's awesome. All right, man, you can do this. Last wave. Is that all we got on news?
I think so. Yeah.
Right on. Well,
it's kind of a
dry week. Yeah. Dry week. So in a rare, unprecedented occurrence, one person is responsible for both Gam and Gadget. So what Adam's
thanks,
been...
John.
Yeah, bro.
So what Adam's playing right now is a game called Ruby Grim Eclipse. It was developed by Rooster Teeth Games, which is a branch of Rooster Teeth Productions, LLC. They are the people responsible for the great show Red vs. Blue, and then later on in their careers, they produced a show called Ruby, and Ruby's an excellent anime developed by Moni and details the world of Remnant, where there are huntresses and huntsmen who defend the people from these things that Adam's killing called the Creatures of Grimm. And the Creatures of Grimm gather where there are death, disease, where there's just basically unrest and unhappiness. They gather, and the more unrest and unhappy the surrounding area is, the stronger the Grimm are. So that's why, if you've noticed, as Adam's been fighting these four waves, he's gotten bigger and bigger Grimm fighting him. That's how it works. I think they just evolve like fucking
and he
Pokemon.
Never counters. He's just like, I'm just gonna run around circles here.
He's gonna specifically try to counter now to prove you wrong.
I counter.
He ran around for
counter,
like
bro.
30 solid me, seconds not
counter.
Doing anything.
Zero health.
We've been countered all the time.
You have health. I can see
I
it.
Now. I didn't give me shit, Pete.
I don't know, man. Just play better.
The
skate
game,
better.
The game was originally developed by developed as a Steam Greenlight game, and then it took the Rooster Teeth community is really cool in the fact that they'll support pretty much anything that these guys do make or create. To the point of like ridiculousness. Like Rooster Teeth just had a Kickstarter for $1 million but card game, like a physical card game, and they funded $1 million in 24 hours. They had they had an Indiegogo campaign for a movie called Laser Team, and they had also funded enormously and hit stretch goals upward of $1 million past their goal. And this was no different. Steam Greenlight had this up, and it was greenlit in 24 hours, and then it went into early access, and that's when I picked it up, wrote a review for the website, and, I've loved it. Now, in July of this year, after the early access was done, they released the full game. So this game costs $24.99 when it's not on sale.
Yeah.
And it's a beaut. I mean, it really is. Hey, you saved up 2 points. What are you going for? That?
Your health recovers.
The other
faster.
One's your ultimate stronger and wider.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, and it's your game. Go.
I would probably, yeah, health regens probably. You're just going to start over anyway.
Yeah, because you can, at the end of each level, you can refund your skill points and spend them where you want.
Yeah.
Which I actually do like as a cool little feature. You're not completely just like, well, this is what I have for the rest of the game.
Now, we've been playing solely as a single-player game, but this game is multiplayer. It supports, I think, both online and local, but don't quote me on that. I have never played local on this game. We'd have to try that when I get my Steam controller.
We should try playing online.
You can play online. What it does is it puts you in a lobby in an already existing game.
Gotcha. So you just kind of pop in wherever you...
Yeah. I think there is an option to, start a new game and open a lobby yourself. Mm. And I don't know, since they released the game, I don't know if you can... if you can join with similar leveled characters, you know? Like, Adam's level 5 now. My Yang is level 3. But my wife and my Blake are level 1s. So I don't know, can you do dual characters on the same stuff? Like, I don't know. Like I said, it's been a while since I've played this game.
Yeah, it seems like there's been quite a few patches since it was in early access, too.
Yeah, so. Well, like I said, that was a year ago.
Yeah.
I will say that it's refreshing that since this was done in-house at Rooster Teeth, all of the assets from the Ruby show are available for the developers. So the original voice actors are all in it. The person who made the music, Jeff Williams, along with another composer, they're available to do all of the sounds and all the music. All the recordings done in-house, all the developments done in-house. The fight choreography is directly out of the show, which is, amazing. And I think if Monty was still alive to see this game come to fruition, he'd love it and would play it. He was a gamer first and foremost, and then a developer after, so I think you would have loved this game. Adam, you've been playing this for quite some time. What's your opinion of it?
It's fun. It's just a really fun hack and slash, which is what it is at its core. But I don't know, it feels intuitive, like even trying to get used to a new controller, of like everything makes sense with the way combos work and everything. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a fan.
Nice.
Adam, you played a little bit of it.
Did you like to play some more?
I did. You can keep playing for now. I think we're... While we're paying attention to the game, we may as well be have you playing because you're going to do much better than me.
You don't know that. I could do that. But I've played a lot of this game. Peter, you had a couple critiques of this game earlier. Would you like to voice them? Because I think they're sound. I think yeah. They bring up good points.
I think the most notable thing that I saw first off was the kind of disjointed feeling between the character art and the environment. They are both beautiful, but they don't really mix together in the sense that she's kind of more of a cel-shaded, cartoony animated character.
Whereas this thing looks more realistic and rocky. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the environment doesn't look like the show nearly as much as she looks like the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the show more cel-shaded and stuff? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's done in a program called Poser, which is where they get the character for Ruby and all that stuff. That's where it was made and developed.
Right.
A friend of mine uses that software.
Yeah. It's definitely a software that's made leaps and bounds as far as its ability to, you know, animate, but it is a stark difference between the background, like Peter says.
It does. It almost to the point where it seems like she's like floating or something, or
right, like she's hovering.
Disconnected
there.
Like you said, but
yeah. But I will say, for if you can, like, this game is gonna be supported for as long as Rooster Teeth's a thing, because they're very loyal to their fans and their supporters. Like the community that made sure this happened is going to be able to continue playing this game. And I have no problem saying this, until Rooster Teeth goes under. Unless it becomes, like, completely fiscally unresponsible to them. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
they're just dumping money.
They're just dumping money into it, and it's... Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I'd like to see, like, they're constantly talking about updating it. There's going to be a horde mode coming up, which I think is...
Yeah,
it's essentially cool. What Adam's doing right now, but his version of horde mode right now is geared towards the end of a level, whereas a horde mode with just Ruby, I would love to do that. Because, you know, in the show, they are so fucking badass. They're nimble, they're magic, they're fucking quick, and I would love to see... I would love to be able to experience that interactively. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing this game excels at.
So how is the co-op with other people? Like, are there... Because I know in the show they're always helping each other, like Ruby...
Oh, you can do dual attacks and stuff.
You can? Okay.
Yeah, you can do... Nice. I think they're called... what are they called in Final Fantasy? They're not called limit breaks, but they're like things you can do with other characters.
Team attack,
yeah. you can do that in this, and you can do that in a bunch of games. I love it in Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
Being able to do that with, like, Nightwing and stuff in Arkham Knight.
Or
so
Robin.
Cool. Or Catwoman, yeah. So cool. So good. But, like, I think both your ultimates have to be up. Just like in Arkham Knight, your combo's got to be up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great game. $24.99. I highly recommend, if you, like, enjoyed Rooster Teeth content at all, you definitely pick this up, because you'll recognize people you've seen from all their other productions in this. Even if you're just, like, a fan of Achievement Hunter or something, there's people from Achievement Hunter that are in this game.
It's got mixed reviews on Steam, but I'd say that's...
But overall, it's positive.
Well, it's weird, because, overall it's very positive, but the reviews in the last 30 days are mixed. So I don't know if maybe they had an update in the last 30 days or something that changed.
Well,
something
yeah, it was like. They released the full game.
You know, oh, would that just happen in the last 30 days?
Yeah, July. Oh, okay.
I'm curious how many of those reviews are for people that never watched the show, too. Because
probably.
Adam and I saw a couple of reviews that were like, this guy played 10 minutes of it, and he loved it. But then another guy played 40 minutes of it, and he fucking hated it.
Yeah.
Whereas Adam's been playing this for nearly an hour, and he seems to like it.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
When I was playing...
Not sarcastic.
When I was playing before the show, I kind of got, addicted to it, almost. It was like...
You were playing Yang, and yeah. Yang's so cool. She's
Yang
a shotgun
fucking
gauntlet
rad.
Chick.
Whenever you're looking at reviews like that, you're always better off going with the ones that have played it for 10 hours or more. Or so,
yeah.
You know.
Like, vested time into it, as
right.
opposed to, like, I paid $25, so I can shit on this.
Yeah. But if they played 20 hours of it and they say the game sucks, it probably does. It,
yeah. You probably know? Like there's something there. Man, I wish there were those kind of reviews back when we were like searching for MMOs during the like 2006 days of us playing games. Like if you didn't play WoW, there were other MMOs that we were playing at the time, like Silk Road. Do you remember that, Peter?
Yeah.
I hated that game. You couldn't everybody jump. Was fucking playing it.
You couldn't jump. I'm serious, though.
That sucked.
Some of my most fun playing WoW was, okay, what can I climb on top of an orb?
Parkour, man.
Yeah. So that would probably be it for Grim Eclipse while Adam keeps playing it. But I also want to bring you a gadget, and it's not necessarily a gadget, but it is a new technology and a new way to cook. It is called the seasoning sticks. Now, the premise of this is actually pretty valid. When you season a piece of meat, you're only seasoning the outside mm-hmm. if it's during the cooking. Or if you marinate it, it's a long, lengthy process that can take up to a day. And even then, when the meat cooks, the liquid inside evaporates out of the meat. So, yes, some of that residual flavor will be there, but you lose 90% of your marinade. But you lose a lot of your marinade.
Even marinating something overnight, like they've proven it, like it only penetrates the meat like maybe an eighth of an inch.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's it?
Yeah, marinating overnight really doesn't get the flavor inside.
And don't get me wrong, Adam, everything that you've ever smoked or cooked has been awesome. And it's always seasoned well. But it's just the skin.
It's true, but... Well, go ahead.
I will say that the edge of a roast is usually the most flavorful part, as opposed to like the inside of it.
I'm really thinking of it as smoked turkey and smoked chicken. Your skin is like some
smoked
of the
turkey
best
is
part.
The fucking
now,
best.
Yeah.
Now, smoked turkey does need to be seasoned on the inside. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I always would use a flavor injector for
yeah.
turkeys.
So what? Some like crushed garlic and.
So what seasoning sticks is, it's a stick. It's about that long. For those of you listening, it's 3 inches. And
of just compressed seasoning.
Of just compressed seasoning, yeah, that has a melting point of 110 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, you're like, well, why is that important? Because as soon as you start to cook something, like poultry needs to be at, like, what, 160, 125 or something like that?
160,
yeah.
So as soon as you get past that point, the stick that you have inserted into your raw food melts and seeds your meat with food, or with seasoning. Yeah, it seeds your meat instead of your meat seeding you. I will say that this new technology, founded by Catherine Zuniga, has 1,757 backers who have pledged $86,981, and this campaign is successful. It's over. August 22nd, they are fully funded.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Nice. So they offer 4 different flavors of their seasoning sticks. They range from classic barbecue mesquite to garlic to a salt mix, and then there's Thai.
Salt mix.
It's actually like sea salt and paprika, yeah. And it's actually probably really good.
It's probably one of the better ones.
I just want to like ask one question. How do you get the seasoning stick in the meat again?
You stick it in raw.
Shove it in there.
It's literally like rigid enough that it'll just... into your meat.
This reminds me of this roast that my girlfriend has made me in the past with prime rib. Once you've, you know, butchered it and you have your rib rack, you cut into it with a small paring knife, and then you essentially cut cloves of garlic in half and then shove them directly into the top of the roast, like kind of deep down in there.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's, nice.
It's one way that I've seen it, something similar done. But that's pretty cool. I wonder, how do they get them so rigid?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably science.
Whatever they're using to bind the
food glue, yeah. Food glue. So I've seen things like this in the past, especially on infomercials. There's that dude, Chef Tony, who had like the like solid food injector. Like you'd stick the syringe into your food and it would inject cloves of garlic.
Turkey
baster. Yeah, but it was like a massive like syringe with like a nipple on the end of it, and he'd push the plunger down and it would shove the food out through this like nipple.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then like you pull the plunger away and it would just leave a plunger shaped like food or like seasoning thing in the middle of it, and then like you'd cut open it, and there'd be full cloves of garlic and stuff within the meat.
Yeah, it's like a flavor injector, like I was talking about. It's basically a big syringe.
Yeah,
because you don't have to put like solid chunks. You could inject like a marinade or something into it too.
Yeah. But I like this. I don't cook as often as Adam does, but when I do take seasoning seriously. And normally I do. It's important.
I do too, but probably
I don't always
way.
Cook food, but when I do, I season that shit.
With sticks. it is also important to note that with seasoning sticks, they had a goal of 20,000 and they hit it 4 times.
Wow.
$86,000. So that what that means is they added a fourth or a fifth flavor to their sticks. There's a applewood bourbon.
Ooh,
nice. That sounds good.
Now, granted, this could be some kitschy shit, and it could actually fail 50% of the time. But they were awarded 3 U.S. patents before the Kickstarter campaign happened, which I don't know specifically what those patent numbers are. But they all and I'd be willing to try this. I think it'd be worth like taking a stab with some sticks.
Did you say how much they were?
No, I didn't. I don't actually have that information because I didn't research it enough. But classic garlic, backyard barbecue, herbs de Provence, which is organic marjoram, lavender, rosemary, basil, thyme, and fennel seeds. And then the Thai satay, which is white ginger, powdered peanut butter, raw coconut, Thai sriracha salt, palm sugar, and red curry.
Those all sound really good.
And then the classic garlic.
Have you guys ever had powdered peanut butter before?
It's amazing.
I never have.
It's so weird. It's literally like a powder that you pour in your mouth.
Really?
And then as you move your mouth around, it turns to peanut butter.
Huh. No, I never had. I assume it's mostly for like cooking and stuff, right?
I have no idea. I like, use it for stuffing in my face, and it worked. I'd really
imagine
well.
It's generally not to put in your mouth and turn probably it into peanut not. Butter, but
retro hipster, huh, Pete?
Huh?
Retro hipster in GDC, huh? Peter going making tweets out there. but that's really all I got. The seasoning sticks was just a really cool thing that I thought.
I think it's
would
cool. I don't think it's for me.
Would you try it?
I would try it. Oh, yeah. I have no issue with it. I tend to like to make my own seasonings. Like, we actually just ran out. But most of the stuff I've smoked over the last year were just seasonings that I've made and just kept in the freezer and stuff.
Were they
from
your garden?
No, not necessarily. But just, I don't know. I like to have that level of control over it. I also am very.
You know.
I'm also a very firm believer in if the meat's done right, it can hold its own and doesn't really need.
Oh, sure. That's why
especially
I never.
If it's a piece of steak.
For
like
a lot
meat.
Of things, steak, don't get me wrong. I'm down with a nice seasoned steak too, but I'm all the way salt and pepper on a steak.
Sure.
Right?
I put onion powder on mine, but that's it.
Preferably, you know, like cracked pepper horns or something, but I don't know. A lot of my meat is actually very
mildly.
Yeah, mildly seasoned, with the exception of like when we do big chunks of meat, because you still need to put a lot of rub on there.
Yeah,
you know.
I like it when you put rosemary and thyme on your rubs.
Yeah.
No, they're good. I will forever tout the fact that Adam's got the best meat that I've ever had.
I don't usually marinate stuff. We kind of talked about that a little bit at the beginning. Like, I don't usually marinate stuff because it's not really worth doing.
Nope. All it does is make the outside look good.
Your best bet for meats, if you really want to keep them moist, is to dry brine them.
So basically
just take your chunk of meat, put a whole bunch of salt. You know, you might want to look it up to see how much salt for it. But if you like a lot of salt, put a whole bunch of salt on both sides. Put it back in the refrigerator for an hour or two. When you pull it back out, all that salt will be gone.
Oh, okay.
It's done some chemical reaction in there. And
like osmosis.
Like started to unbound the proteins.
Sure.
And it just creates a barrier that keeps the juice in better. So,
I mean, in all honesty, I think what you buy at the supermarket is the medium cut of the meats. You really should go to your local butcher because, granted, while they may not always be solid, you're going to have an overall better cut of meat off your butcher.
Yeah.
And they will definitely not be the cheapest.
I still blame the dryness of my last brisket to the cut of meat.
Yeah. I can see that. I'm supposed to go look at pork bellies for you in the next couple weeks.
Ooh, yeah, because I want to cold smoke some bacon.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
either way, if you're looking to just, I don't know, try something new, maybe check out seasoningsticks.com. It's probably going to be a rather affordable thing, and I'm going to at least look into it and try it, and maybe in the near future you'll hear from producer Josh when I'm back in the chair about how my chicken was seasoned with the seasoning.
Yeah, and I mean, and like, it's perfect for people that don't cook often, don't have the stuff to like
make
like
a new
flavor
rub.
Injector yeah. or this and that, you know.
Or if you're just cooking like a small piece of like chicken or something.
Yeah,
or just
exactly.
Yourself,
yeah,
like,
for sure. And you just shove one of those in there, throw it in the oven or
and
whatever. And
yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's funny, like the video on the Kickstarter shows them like all the wasted, I don't know if it was a video of like a GIF or something. It's like all the wasted seasonings. They're just like throwing it on the meatball
yeah, oh,
while
yeah.
it's on the grill. They're just,
yeah,
like,
they're just like,
look at all this wasted seasoning. You know?
It's not how you season meat, man. Like you do it like you dip it, right?
You do it like a rub. Rub and kind of pat
it. If you have a small,
bit.
Like my steaks, what I do is I put it all on a plate.
Oh, you can do that
and
too.
And then just.
Yeah.
Once and twice and get it on there and then it's good.
You can do that too. I like to get my hands into it though.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very clean. I don't like getting into the meat.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Good thing that she's not here tonight.
No, I'm just going to leave it there.
Wordness to the turdness.
but yeah, that's pretty much it. And we're about at an hour, so.
We are exactly an hour.
So
I'm good.
Well, bye.
Good day.
Oh shit, we gotta go.
well, hang on. Actually, we finally released the drawful video with 8 players. Sorry for the sound being a little messed up towards the beginning there, but there were 8 of us sharing 4 mics.
Yeah.
So fuck you. It's hard.
it's funny enough. You get over that.
Yeah.
So.
I think the funniest moment I think is Peter like literally putting the answer to his thing in the video,
and no one
gets
it
but
yeah.
me. It's the Pulpy OJ one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the whole time, other answers keep popping up. Peter's just like, really, really.
That's pretty funny. Hopefully, in the next couple of days too, we'll have the last Kerbal video out.
Oh, Peter went to space.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
even
have to record
that,
the one where John just kind of winged his trip to the moon and completely missed, do we?
Huh?
No, that was just funny. Him playing after.
Oh, after the fact?
Yeah. No one will ever see that.
It was funny. I was like, I'm just going to wing it. And then, like, you turn the monitor off on him for, like, 30 seconds.
And then I don't want to tease too much, but over the weekend we had a lot of fun doing a little project of mine that I think I think could turn out great, but that's as far as I'm going to go on that one.
Ooh, a little tease, so you better subscribe.
Oh, and like.
Yeah. If you subscribe, you'll at least sometimes get a notification.
What the fuck is that?
That's an Ursa! 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 Oh, Ursa's going to fuck you up, too.
Looks like she stuns herself.
No, look out! Look out! Yeah, he stuns himself, but you gotta dodge that. It comes in a line. RB! 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 I mean, come on, man!
You stopped being English for a second there.
Oi, prick!
Oh,
RB!
Was that the last one? Oh,
nope.
Shit. One more.
Good dodge.
Damn it, I thought that would have been a good note to end it on, but...
Uh-huh. We gotta wait for him to beat
this.
Yeah,
so this
thing.
Is what I meant earlier by how the Grimm get bigger as more and more... hate and despair is in the area. That's Ursa. Ursas are major and minor. you got to use the dash thing and go to the left or right. No,
you should start a whole new combo instead of using your
heavy.
Say,
there you go. Oh, you got to dodge.
Dodge!
No,
dodge!
Gotta,
dodge!
For this one, you got to dodge. You got to use the full English word, man. You're getting him. You're getting him. Oh, that probably hurt.
Uh-oh.
Get him! Yeah!
Nice!
Good job, man.
I'm the greatest. Nice.
Ah, the door is open.
Yay! Well, we'll never see what's on the other side, though, because it's time to go home.
Unfortunately.
Do it in Ruby's voice. I did it!
I did it!
For everything and anything Waiting for Players, check out waitingforplayers.net. Us on Facebook, Twitter at Waiting for Players, twitch.tv/waitingforplayers. If you haven't watched us, be sure to do it every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific.
Yep.
And next week it'll be Adam producing the show, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be one hell of a mess.
We'll probably be a little late.
Oh, and also be sure to check out Comics Brew and Bad Flicks. Both those shows are doing great things on their end. Comics Brew, I interviewed an Irishman. And it's my first European interview.
How much did you mock him by accidentally slipping? The,
you know, funny you mentioned that.
There might be a little bit of that.
There's a good moment in there where he turns it around on me and makes fun of Americans.
Oh, that's amazing.
He does it really well.
He does do it really good. It's actually just worth listening to the interview just for that part.
Yeah, and it's a 20-minute interview, but it's well worth it.
That's,
I think,
too long.
Short attention span.
You're way too short.
Who are you? and then yeah, let's get out of here, guys.
All right.
Good night.
See you guys next week.
Have a good night.
Bye.